little bit this morning. I don't want to be lengthy because I know it's harder when our little guys are in here with us and we are just out of, you know, safety, not gathering yet in with our Sunday school classes, but soon and very soon because I know that they look forward to that. And so I don't want to be lengthy this morning, but I do want to share a few thoughts with you and the few things that the Lord has just placed on my heart this week. And last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday. Yeah. Amen. And on Pentecost Sunday, we talked last week about the coming of the Spirit of that was promised. Joel prophesied that this is that was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And he stood up on the day of Pentecost and said, men and brethren, these are not drunk as you suppose, but this is that was promised. Hallelujah. Somebody say, this is that. You got this is that. Amen. The power of the Holy Spirit. How many are thankful for the guidance and the governing of the Holy Spirit in your life? The guidance, the governing, and the protection of the Holy Spirit. That when we don't know what we ought to pray, the scripture says that the Spirit makes intercession for us. Hallelujah. That it makes groanings and utterings on our behalf. So I'm sure I have kept the Holy Spirit busy praying on my behalf. Amen. So we talked about that. We talked about the transformation. 3,000 souls are added to the kingdom on the day of Pentecost when Peter stands up and begins to preach Jesus. The John chapter 14 says, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, which was promised by my Father. I am thankful for the comforting Spirit of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter that lives in us. He said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send the Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost, in John chapter 14. I was going to continue. I thought on that today, but I felt like the Lord dropped something else in my heart this week in view of all that's going on. And we talked earlier about, you know, being able to focus and keeping our eyes on what is good and what is true and what is honorable and what God is doing in this season. Amen. We're not on plan B. We're still on plan A. God is still in control. God is still God, and God is still good. And so when I was thinking about that, the Lord began to speak to me a little bit out of the book of Nehemiah. And I'm going to go to Nehemiah chapter 2 today, actually. And when I was looking, walk away from the camera, when I was looking at this and reading it the other night, does anybody know what the name Nehemiah means? The name Nehemiah means comforter. Nehemiah, the name Nehemiah means comforter, and the name Ezra means a helper. The helper to the comforter. And so, you know, when I was thinking about, you know, trying to stay focused and distractions and all of those kind of things, I asked, you know, just praying about it, I said, Lord, what do we do? We're in a pivotal moment. What do we do? What do we say? What direction are you taking us? And what do we, if we are silent, we are judged. If we are vocal, we are judged. And so it's a time to use wisdom. And it's a time to know and have the goods. How many know it's a time to have the goods? And when I was praying, I was just asking the Lord, I said, Lord, how do you fix, you know, a lot of things that's been going on, whether it's, you know, crisis, whether it's been the riots, whatever it's been. And God spoke to me and he said, you build. I said, oh, okay. And so I want to share you some things today. The name of my sermon today is Arise and Build. Okay? And so when we go to the book of Nehemiah, we see where the city of Jerusalem has been torn down, the gates have been torn down, the things that the Jews were under Babylonian captivity, and they were in despair. And Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the king. The comforter had connection to the king. Now remember, the name Nehemiah means the comforter. Aren't you thankful this morning that the comforter has connection to the king? And his connection to the king is he is the cupbearer. He drinks the same wine that the king does. And really what the purpose of a cupbearer is to test the wine before the king gets it. In case somebody puts something in the wine, then the cupbearer takes the hit and not the king. Right? But how many know there was a comforter who had connection to the king that began to see the city struggling and in despair and in ruins? And God began to stir the heart of Nehemiah. And he began to stir something in Nehemiah, and Nehemiah said, "How's my people doing?" And there have been those who had gone to the city, and they come back, and he said, "How's my people doing?" And he said, "They're in despair. The people are struggling, and they're in despair." And the comforter said, "Then I need to go to the city, and I need to build. I need to go to the city and I need to restore some things that have been torn down. I need to mend some things that have been broken." And he began to petition the king. And in Nehemiah chapter 2, and I'm going to start verse 1. I'm going to read the whole chapter to you. And then I'll just share a few thoughts with you. And then we'll see what the comforter does. I don't know. It says, "And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence, wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. And then I was very sore afraid. And I said to the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchers, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchers, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, The queen also sitting by him, For how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, If it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber or beams or pillars to make beams for the gates of the palace which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant the Ammonite heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I arose in the night, and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, neither was any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gates of the valley, even before the dragon well, unto the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gates of the fountain and the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then I went up in the night by the brook, and viewed the wall, and turned back, and entered by the gate of the valley. And so returned, and the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then I said unto them, You see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that there be no more reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And he said, Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant the Ammonite and the Geshem and the Arabian heard it. They laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, What is this thing that ye do? will ye rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said, the God of heaven will prosper us. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build, but ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial. So as I was reading the scripture there, and I thought about all of the things, and I talked about, you know, Nehemiah was in distress. He was in despair, and he was in discouragement when he looked around and saw what had been going on in the city, and the despair and the captivity of God's people. And as I told you before, the name Nehemiah means comforter. When the comforter begins to work on your behalf, when the comforter senses a need, we said before that this comforter goes to work and it is activated on your behalf. There's been times in my life when I would say, Lord, I'm just going to send the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send out, you know, I used to pray, Lord, send out the hornets. I mean, just, the Old Testament, they used to send out the hornets. Remember that, you know? I say, Lord, I don't care what form it takes, just go. But, you know, and it's not that the Holy Spirit is not already there, but how many know there's places I can't go, there's people I can't see, there's things I can't do, but the Holy Ghost can. See, I believe the Holy Ghost can speak to you in your dreams. I believe it can speak to you in your car on the way to work. I believe he can speak to you at the grocery store. I believe that God strategically places us at times in areas and arenas that we can be an instrument of hope and an instrument of grace, an instrument of peace around us. But I also believe that God institutes and activates and strategically places people in places that are a hope to us. Amen. How many? Any of you ever have been in a situation or a time when you think, you know, that was a God moment? That was God ordained. That was a moment where God just put the pieces in place, and that was a God ordained moment. That was a Holy Ghost moment. Hallelujah. But it said that Nehemiah said that God had put in his heart to do in Jerusalem, and he began to ride through the places of, and he began to survey the city, and he began to look at the ruins of his people. And one of the things that it says is that Nehemiah gave up his place in the palace and the comfort of the palace to go back to the ruins of the city and to begin to build back what had been taken from them, what had been in ruins, or what had looked like that it was torn down. But it said, what do you do when it looks like everything around you is in ruins and the strong walls and supports and the things that you look to for protection have been torn down? What do you do when you look around you and see despair? What do you do when you look around and see that what used to be? How many know there's some things that have been torn down even in the spirit? There's some things that have needed to be torn down, even in the spirit. But how many know, I don't believe that God ever, I don't believe God's hand is necessarily one that tears down. I believe God's hand is always one to build up. I believe God is always building. I believe he builds from the inside out. I believe he builds from the foundation up. I'm thankful for foundational truths. I'm thankful for the things that I learned as a little kid. That wise men build their house upon the rock. Amen. That when the rains come and the house on the sand went splat, right? There's some foundational things. But what do you do when God begins to speak to you and said, Nehemiah, I'm about to shift some things? How many know God has been in the process of shifting some things? How many know when an earthquake happens or there's some fault lines, when things shaking, when it's done, there's a different perspective or there's a fault line, and sometimes there is a lift of one section and a drop of the other, right? I don't know how to say that any differently, but how many know there's some shifting that takes place. And God begins to stir the heart of Nehemiah, and he said, I'm about to build some things up that have been torn down. And I think if nothing else, we have been challenged, even in our country where our focus is this year. And the voice, the prophetic voice, the voice from every church, I believe, in the nation just about has been over the air. And the word of God is going out in exponential amounts of, you can turn on a Facebook or YouTube or media any time of day and hear a word of encouragement across this nation where the voice is being heard in households and homes and areas. You know, when you go back and look at the views, we a lot of times are reaching more on our Facebook Live that's going out than we can reach on a Sunday morning. But how many know God is reaching us on a Sunday morning, but he's also reaching it out to the nations? How many know God is sending the Comforter to restore some things, to build some things, to rally some things? And so what happens, he said, the first thing he had to do when Nehemiah saw the need of the people was to petition the king. How many of you have been petitioning the king here lately? Some of you raised your hand earlier when I said, you know, that is your trust without borders. How many of you want to live in a position where you say, God, I'm going to trust you without borders? Because how many know trust without borders is scary? Walkways without handrails are scary. Steps without the back end of them are scary. I mean, there's things that are scary. But if you don't ever go beyond the realm, how many know there's some common sense fear? Fear is okay in the right proportion and in the right arena. But how many know having your whole life gripped by fear or controlled by fear will rob you of everything that God wants to do for you? There's sometimes when you got to say, God, I'm going to do it afraid. I'm going to do it fearful. I'm going to be brave. I'm going to step out on faith because I see God speaking some things. I can see a vision of some things being restored. I can see a vision of some things rising up. I can see God stirring some hearts. I can see things starting to happen, and I'm going to step out of my comfort zone, and I'm going to step out afraid, and I'm going to trust God. I'm going to petition the king and say, God, if I perish, then I perish, but I'm going to see the king. How many know Esther had the right to petition the king, and she didn't even know it? She said, Mordecai, I can't go to the king. If I go to the king, he don't stretch out his scepter, he could be off with my head. And he said, Esther, don't you think that you're going to escape what's going on right now? But who knows, perhaps this is the moment for which you have been created. And I want to challenge some of you in here today. This is your moment. I see some of you all stepping out on faith. I see you stepping outside your comfort zones. I see you reaching for stars that you didn't know you could handle. I see you writing things that you didn't know was in you. I see songs coming out you that you didn't know was there. I see opportunities opening because you're willing to trust the Holy Ghost in you and petition the king and say, send me. I see, you see rubble, I see a city. You see torn down, I see built up. You see despair, I see hope. And when he saw it, he started to petition the king and said, send me, I'll go. Then once you got to petition the king, next you got to rally the people. How many know you got to talk people into it sometimes? You got to get people to see what you see. Dan said, Lisa, come here this morning. And I came out and he said, look there in that field. And I looked, he said, you see that green spot? I said, yeah, I see that green spot. He said, you see that little fawn there? I said, no, I don't see that little fawn. He said, never mind, it's laying down. You can't see it now, but every now and then you might see an ear of it. How many know just because I didn't see it didn't mean it wasn't there? And if I would have waited long enough and looked hard enough, I would have seen it. How many know somebody's got to see it? Somebody has to have a vision of it. Somebody has to declare something other than despair and say, no, I see hope. I may not see it yet, but if I keep looking, I can see it. And what happens when somebody begins to see it, before you know it, somebody else sees it. And you start to rally the people. And you start to rally hope. And you start to get your hopes up. I mean, sometimes you just got to get your hopes up. You got to be a hope ambassador. My friend Jana, she's a hope ambassador. She understands hope. Hallelujah. And so you got to get your hopes up. You got to rally the people, because the scripture said that the people had a mind to work. If you ever get people that have a mind to work, there's not a whole lot you cannot accomplish. If you get people to see what you see, if you get people to see the vision, and you get people that have a mind to work that are willing to step up and say, I see it. Because it's one thing to see it. It's another thing to get involved in it. It's another thing to invest in it. It's another thing to become a part of it. I shared back earlier in the season of the story of Barak and Deborah. Y'all know the story of Barak and Deborah. And Deborah tells Barak, he said, Barak, I want you to get in the chariot. I want you to go, because God's going to give us victory over Sisera. And he begins to speak to Barak. And Barak says, if you go with me, I'll go. But if you don't go, I don't go. Now, I love this story, because Barak wants Deborah to go with him into battle. And I said something to the effect that if we ever realize, whether it's gender, whether it's race, culture, whatever it is, we are not in competition with each other. We are on the same team. I mean, Barak was not threatened by Deborah, and Deborah was not threatened by Barak, but when the both of them came together, things happened. And what happened is Barak got a champion in his chariot when Deborah said, I'll not only give you the vision, I'll not only prophetically speak a word over your life, I will not only send you to battle, but I'll get in the chariot and go with you, because I believe in you so much that I'll ride the chariot with you. I mean, sometimes you got to get in the chariot with somebody and say, you can do this, and I'll ride the chariot with you until you get where you're going. Everybody needs a champion in their chariot, somebody who can see it, believe in it, and invest in it to get you where you need to be. So he had to rally the people. And then he had to protect the people. I love it, because he said when they got on the wall and they started to build back things, they said some people would do the work. They would do the sawing and the hammering and the lay in the block. And while some people had the vision on how to build the wall, some people just stood guard on their back and guarded them while they worked. How many know when we work together, how many know there are times even in this that we've had to guard each other's backs? Thank you for every card you sent to somebody while we were out that you knew were in despair or sick or down, or a text or a prayer or a connection or a secret sister or whatever it is you did through this. Whether you reached out to somebody, thank you. Thank you for guarding their back while they're working. Because how many know when you're working on the wall, you don't always see what's ahead of you or behind you? Hallelujah. But he rallied the people and he got protection for the people. And then he said you had to silence the voices of Sanballat. How do you silence the voice of Sanballat? It's not so much what you say, but by what you build. Sanballat said, if a little fox walks on that wall, it's going to fall down. That was the voice of Sanballat. If Nehemiah had listened to the voice, he could have packed his bag, went back to his plush position at the palace, and the city would have stayed in ruins. But you don't silence the voice of Sanballat by what you say, but by what you build. Can we build it? Can we build it? Yes, we can. Hallelujah. And he said it was the little foxes that would get on the walls. How many know it? Sometimes it's those little things that'll bring doubt or discouragement or despair to your life. And we start listening to Sanballat more than we're listening to the king. I'm telling you, I'm asking God, Lord, tune my ear to your voice, that I hear what you say way more than I hear the voice of a discouragement, way more than I hear the voice of despair, way more than I want to hear the I can's, way more than I hear the I can't. Come on, somebody. Yeah. He had to silence them, not by what he said, by what he built. Hallelujah. You have to defy the small foxes of division, distraction, and discouragement that'll present yourself at times. You got to get in the right frame of mind. How many know silent doesn't mean you don't care? It means you're saving your energy to build something. You're putting your energy into your actions more than you are into your words. So what do we build? How do we build? We build character. We build strength. We build morals. We build bravery. We build honor. That's how you change a structure. That's how you change an infrastructure. If you change your mind and change your heart, the most powerful thing in your life you can change is your mind and your heart. Because if you'll change your mind and your heart, you'll change your marriage, you'll change your kids, you'll change your home, you'll change environments, not by stinking thinking. I was going to tell you all that, you know, we come back to church and we sing "When the Roll Was Called Up Yonder." I know all of a sudden you guys' mind going to go to Roll of Charmin and, you know, Angel Soft and all that kind of stuff, right? Because we've been out of toilet paper for, what, 3 months? Who knew at the year 2020, the greatest crisis I would face in my faith would I can't find toilet paper. So when we get to church and you sing "When the Roll Was Called Up Yonder," I know y'all's mind going to go right to Charmin. Because you got that stinking thinking, right? Hallelujah. Who knew that those were going to be the things that would challenge? Can I just tell you that in a good day in most countries, they wish that was their greatest crisis, was toilet paper and paper towels. And now we got leaves on the trees, even the fuzzy ones, Lynn says. And we've got maple. He recommends maple leaves. That's your brand of choice. Hallelujah. You got to do what you got to do, right? But how many know you got to change your way you think? Like you can look, you can view, and I know there's crisis, and I know people are sick. I know there have been deaths over this, and I'm not minimizing that. But I'm going to tell you, in the midst of this, the Lord kept speaking to me the whole time. Lisa, just stay focused on what the blessings are. Stay focused on the positive. Stay focused on what good is coming out of this, because God's doing some good things in this, and I'm not going to miss what God's doing in the midst of this because I'm distracted by media, or because I'm distracted by Facebook, or I'm distracted by somebody down the road, because about the time I get my faith up, somebody tells me a horrible story and I got to start all over again. I mean, no, you got to silence the voices of Sanballat and Tobiah and the little foxes and say, go ahead and walk on my wall if you want to, because I believe I know who the builder is. I know who the master carpenter is. I know who's the chief cornerstone, and I'm not going to be affected by the voices of little foxes. I know what God put in my heart. I know he's still King of Kings. I know he's still Lord of Lords. I know he still cares about my health. He cares about my test. He cares about my family. He cares about my finances. He cares about my wages. He cares about my future. And I refuse to listen to any voice other than that. Hallelujah. So I'm going to silence the voices because I'm too busy building to start listening to naysayers. Hallelujah. You know, the way we're going to change our culture, the way we're going to change our nation is when we start changing our kids. And we start raising up a household of honor that loves and respects people, that loves and respects themselves, that loves and respects their spouse or their mate, that we teach honor and we teach courage and we teach bravery and we teach God as foundational things. How many know you got to get a firm foundation and you got to build on it? Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. And you got to build one stone at a time and one step at a time and one piece at a time. Hallelujah. Until you start to see it coming together. How many know when you first dig the hole in the ground, you don't see the mansion sitting there? You see a hole in the ground. But you can't get to the finished product if you don't start somewhere. Somebody's got to dig. Somebody's got to lay. Somebody's got to find something solid, something firm, something real, and build on it. Hallelujah. So we build courage and strength and honor. He had to give up the comfort of the palace to suffer with the returning exiles and the rebuilding of the city. Nehemiah was the builder and Ezra was the scholar. One built the city while one reinstituted and interpreted the laws and the love of God and the governing of people. We talked last week about the power of the Holy Spirit and the comforter. How many know that's the governor? That's the governor who lives in the house. He won't lie to you. He won't forsake you. He won't lead you astray. If you really want to know direction, if you really want to know if it's right or wrong, ask the governor. And then listen to what he says. Because he's talking. We're just not always listening. Amen? He's talking. We're not always listening. Why? Because we're distracted. We're distracted by voices that are contrary to what we know to be the truth. Hallelujah. He encouraged the people and caused their courage to return. In Nehemiah 18, or chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "And I told them of the hand of my God, which is good upon me, and also the king's words that he had spoken to me. And they said, let us rise and build. So they strengthened their hands," or in other words, they encouraged themselves for this good work. They encouraged themselves. I come this morning to be an encourager. I come to be a Nehemiah. I come to tell you, quit looking at what looks like it's broken and start looking what it's fixed. Stop looking at what used to be and start looking about what God is doing and what God is building right here, right now. And he's using each one of us to do. Hallelujah. He's using us to do it. We got to put down some media. We got to put down some newspapers. We got to pick up some hammers and some nails and some shovels and some trowels. Amen? And start to build character, build strength. One of the most beautiful things that I've seen, even in the midst of this, is how God has used people, the hands of people, to minister. The amount of masks that have been made, the amount of kids that have been fed, the amount of food that's been given out, the amount of resources and people pulling together and communities and pulling together and working together. Let's not forget that togetherness. Let's not forget that community. Let's not forget to encourage one another in the strength. And said he encouraged the people, and the people had a mind to work. And they said, let's arise and build. How do you fix what's going on? I say, let's build. How do you fix what's going on? I say, let's build. You know what it challenged me to do? And you can stand with me. I'm done this morning. What it's challenged me to do is when I go places, I look around for an opportunity to just be nice. I look for an opportunity to just serve. I just look for an opportunity just to connect with somebody that just needs to hear a positive word for the day. I look for an opportunity to be a builder. And I pray, God, don't let me tear down. Only let me build. Let me build people. Let me build character. Let me build children. Let's build up. Let's not tear down. And let's remember that the Comforter is working on our behalf. And the city is not about rocks and stones and wood. It's about people who rise up and realize who they are. How many know we are a city set on a hill? We are a city set on a hill in the natural and in the spirit. Hallelujah. A light and a beacon. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are building right in the midst. Lord, that you are building an infrastructure of hope and peace and strength and honor, God. I thank you, God, that you are challenging us, Lord, to step out of our comfort zone. Lord, to be ambassadors of your goodness, of your hope, of your peace, of your goodwill, Father. We pray over our nation. We pray over our church. We pray over our families, God. And we decree and declare that today is a day of miracles. Yep. miracles in this house, Father, in Jesus' name. We declare turnarounds. We declare turnarounds, Father. Lord, of diagnosis and Lord, test and sicknesses and despair, Father, we decree that today is a day of turnarounds in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Let the comforter work this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.